awake from your sleep. Rise to a new day with each your soul to keep.
Hello and welcome to the Enlightened Medicine Show with Dr. Valerie Olmsted, the holographic physician. And we are brought to you by our wonderful sponsor, HydraMay Skin Nutrition. You can check them out on the web at www.hydramay.com. That's HYDRAME.com. Please do check it out if you're not familiar with them. They do all natural, all organic skin nutrition. And your face just soaks it up. And they have body washes and lip balms and things like that too, for men and for women. So please do check that out. And my guest tonight is my very good friend, Misa Hopkins, Reverend Misa, who was on back in December talking about her newest book, The Root of All Healing. We're going to talk a little bit about that tonight, and then she'll be back in March also to talk about how that's going. And we're also going to focus on how to get through this ascension process. You know, what tools do you need? And it's actually simpler than you think. So welcome to the show, Misa.
Hey, it's great to be here. Thanks for having me, Valerie.
Absolutely. We have so much fun when we start getting into all this stuff. And I'm sure the listeners are probably cracking up, too, with some of the things that we talk about. So this will be another one of those. This will be great. So Dominic is saying he wonders what the next mirage will look like. Yes,
the next
indeed.
Mirage.
Yeah. And, you know, it's funny that he would mention that. Well, not so funny, I guess, because we're all synchronistic. But, you know, I don't know how many other people have been having alternate reality experiences. But I'm seeing more and more about it on blogs and hearing about it on radio shows and things like that. And it seems to have become more commonplace. And I know quite a few people that are living at least three other lifetimes somewhere. So what have you run into lately with that, Misa?
What I notice, I guess because I focus so much on healing in my work right now, is that I see some healing crises that are really about spiritual crises. They're connected. Spiritual openings, spiritual doorways, and with it comes the other side of that, which is trying to integrate that awareness into physical reality. It's
yeah,
a
and that's
time.
That's an interesting thing. You know, when you talk about integrating it into physical reality, I guess my question is always, how do we integrate these things? I mean, you know, to integrate a healing is one thing, but when you start talking about, you know, having overlapping realities, and maybe you're healing something that didn't even happen in this reality, as one of our friends was going through a few years ago, and it actually happened on another reality, but you have to do the work here, and people start to get confused, you know, and I mean, I just have to laugh when I see that look on their faces, because how can you even explain that to somebody, you know?
It is strange, isn't it? It's like, well, what does it have to do with where I am here and what I'm doing now? And yet you can feel it. It does. Either emotionally it's grabbing a hold of you, or spiritually or physically it's grabbing you. And, you know, we intersect with ourselves just like we intersect with other people in synchronicity. So we do react, and we don't always know what the core is on the surface. I think that's where the dedication to spiritual practice, to going inward, to meditating, to using more of the shamanic techniques that take you deeper into levels of self-awareness really play a role for us now. I think it behooves us to find the methods and techniques that allow us to go deeper into our awareness of selves. Or another way to look at it is to expand our awareness of selves.
Yeah, I think that's really
what's going on.
Yeah, that's really it. And you know, I tend to look at the view that, you know, we're all little pieces of God out there playing to make God more continually, and that we're more conscious than we were when we were sent out from the God body. And so, you know, I look at it more like, hey, when you win this game, you get to have separate consciousness. And it's just, it's kind of, it's wild to see this stuff. Like our good friend who had been suffering for 25 years and, you know, being a pretty busy attorney and being in great shape and everything else, all of a sudden her face hit the desk and she was out.
Mm-hmm.
And nothing had happened to her in this dimension. But here, 25 years later, when we were doing an acupuncture treatment, all of a sudden I saw what happened. I saw that she was in a battle on another dimension, and I named all the things that happened to her, and she said, well, you know, wouldn't that just explain all those symptoms that nobody could really diagnose properly or figure out what to do with? It was like, yeah. You know, and this was something that we're not normally aware of. You know, we think of ourselves as one being, one body, separate from everyone else, when in reality, we can't be separate. And, you know, I think you have different degrees of whether you feel separate or not, you know, and the differences between self and non-self. So it gets a little confusing. But what I've been finding lately is that I'm spending just as much time in an alternate dimension as I am here.
Mm-hmm.
And that's been really interesting because I'm sure I told you about the time that I came out of a nap and was actually in another dimension physically. I mean, lock,
yes.
Stock, and barrel. Yeah. Scared the crap out of me. I didn't know what to do. And, yeah, I mean, I didn't look at myself in the mirror, but, I mean, you know, everything was the same except for a few little things off, like a family that I didn't have in this dimension. And, you know, little things like that. And it just was so amazing. And so I started thinking about this yesterday and wondering, when do we make the transition? And, you know, I'd like to know what you think about this. Are we actually going to, like, leave this life that we're doing and transition into another one? Or do you think we're going to continue to be more conscious and live these separate lives all at the same time?
Oh, that's such a great question. And I'm expecting that at some point I'm going to look back and say, oh, was I ever so naive? You know?
Aren't we all?
I don't know how it's going to play out this time. So there's the bottom line truth. I have not a clue. But I would speculate that what you just shared may give us a place to attend, and that is that there are realities upon realities. I remember a vision some time back, Dr. Valerie, where I was seeing the layers of dimensions on the earth,
mm-hmm.
that there's more than one dimension of reality. And, you know, I believe it's an ancient Hopi story that talks about the people coming down to mm-hmm. the earth
mm-hmm.
from where they were. And I truly suspect that we have the ability, it's more than strongly suspect, I mean, I know that potential exists because I've walked in some of my other realities and back again. Mm-hmm. I recently quested a woman who did the same thing. She walked into another reality. It felt very, very in the now for her.
Mm-hmm.
And she talked about the differences, and her touchstone was my voice because I would sing in the morning and at night, and when she heard me sing, that was her clue, and she came and got me and talked to me, and I was able to remind her what she was doing. That's how far she was, had been in the other reality, you know, what she was doing, and that was probably why she had gone there, and then help her pull back the pieces that she needed mm-hmm. into this reality. But it doesn't it seem just totally, to me it does anyway, like a totally natural phenomena for us to simply allow ourselves to be present in another realm of consciousness, still living right here on Earth. And things may be occurring here that would not be occurring in another aspect of the same reality.
You know, it brings up another thing, too. I was just thinking about a friend of mine who came to me, he was very aware that he was living in at least two different realities. Mm-hmm. And he came to me one day and he said, I'm really scared. And I said, why? And he said, well, you know my background. He said, you know, I was a Marine and I was in Vietnam and all this kind of stuff. And I said, yeah. He said, well, what I do in this other reality is I go and I kill the bad guys. And I said, okay, so what's the problem? He said, I can no longer tell the difference between realities. And he said, I don't know if I'm actually here in this reality in the third dimension or I'm in another reality where it's okay to twist somebody's head off. And so, you know, what do I do? And I said, I think you better stop twisting heads off until you can figure it out.
Yeah.
That would be the first clue. And really, he was so distressed, and it took him, I don't know, at least a month before he could get back to understanding which one was third dimension and which one was whatever other dimension this was.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, you know, you got to be careful who you tell this to, because most people, if you tell them, they're going to give you drugs and lock you up.
Mm-hmm.
But I said, I understand, because I know these things come on. And he said, well, yeah, I haven't told anybody else, because they'll think I'm crazy. And, you know, he was able to work it out eventually. But, you know, having had that experience myself of slipping into this other reality through sleep and, you know, coming to in this other body and seeing a whole family there and wallpaper on the walls, and I hate wallpaper, and, you know, I mean, things like that that were so strange. And I was, like, pinching myself and going, am I sleeping? You know? No, I was fully awake going, oh, no. How do I get back to my normal reality? Because I didn't really have any conscious recollection of being that person in that same house with that family.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, perhaps I could have stayed there if I wanted to, at least for a day until I went to sleep again, I guess. But I thought, my God, if I'm going crazy, the other person's probably going crazy too. You know? And How weird would that be to wake up in a house where your wallpaper's gone and your whole family is gone and, you know, there's offices where the bedrooms used to be. It would be terrifying.
Mm-hmm.
So all I could think about was to dive back into bed and do my best to get back to sleep, and I figured it would just reset naturally, which it did. But I'm finding now there's more people who are going through this, and they're seeing, well, lots of people are seeing into the other dimensions. You know, there's many more reports of shadow people and ghosts and you know, strange creatures flitting around and all this kind of stuff. And the thing that was alarming to me was I was surfing around. Somebody's been sending me some really interesting links. And so I've been surfing around and looking at different things out there. More people are reporting actual physical contact with dark beings. Now, that was scary because, you know, we've
physical
been told all
contact.
Physical contact with shadow people where they've been harmed. So that's scary because, you know, we've known for certainly all of our lifetimes that they couldn't hurt you because they're actually in another dimension, so they have no physicality in this dimension other than that we can see them as shadows. And so as I realized that that stuff was coming into pass, I thought, wow, you know, we've been told for a long time that the veils are getting thinner and that we will see into other dimensions. So, you know, my point in this whole thing is that we need to keep ourselves in the highest vibratory state possible so that we don't have contact with these dark beings because they're in the lower dimension. So, you know, if we lower our vibratory level through fear or anger or anything like that, then you're probably going to be more prone to see that kind of stuff. Whereas if we keep our vibration higher, they won't be able to see us. We might see them, but at least we won't have to interact with them because we're not supposed to be interacting with them.
Yeah, and I do understand it. I've had them bleed through and I've had them step in, you know, step into my body and they wanted to make themselves at home. Excuse me. You know, it is an incredible time, and I know that in those moments I was very clear about who I was and what my boundaries were and what I would and would not accept.
Mm-hmm.
And I totally agree. I think we have to be very clear about who we are for sure and fall in love with our lives and who we are here.
Mm-hmm.
This is a very powerful experience that we are right here in this dimension. Very powerful. I recently wrote an article about that, the power of the density, because I think one of the things that happens with our focus on ascension is that we assume that it's better in lighter frequencies. And I don't know about better or not. I just know it's different in those realities.
Yeah.
But I was using the analogy of a slingshot, and it's like, you know, put a cotton ball inside a slingshot and pull it back. How far is the cotton ball going to go? Well, it's kind of obvious. It falls to the ground. It doesn't go anywhere, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But take a well-weighted rock, put it in a slingshot, pull it back, and if you have it headed toward a target, there is a greater potential that it will hit that target because of the weight itself.
Mm-hmm.
And I've often thought of this Earth reality that is very dense. I believe it's one of the densest realities in the universe. That our work here is so vital and so important because we are operating in dense reality. So when we make significant transformation, when we approach profound levels of self-love, profound levels of compassion, profound levels of awareness, it has the propulsion, you might say, like that rock in a slingshot that just travels very, very far throughout the various dimensional realities, including what we would consider to be lighter dimensional realities, with tremendous impact. That's how powerful our work is right here. So I think when we give ourselves permission to fall in love with our humanness, really get it how incredible being a human is, and loving our bodies and loving the purpose that we've come here to fulfill and loving the work that we do, even the tough stuff, even the emotionally challenging stuff, love it. Even the physical challenges, love them. Because as we are transforming in this reality, so all of existence is transforming through the power of our experiences here. I think this is the place to be. I really do.
Yeah, and I very much agree with you.
And this is it.
You know, I keep trying to tell people, you know, you got to let go of the old, let go of all the nasty stuff. And, you know, we know what's going on out there. And, you know, my standard advice is always, you know, do what's yours to do. And if there's something out there that's not right and you have the power to do something about it, then do it. You know, like stop the bad guys from doing whatever they're trying to do. You know, hold them up to the light so they can't scurry under rocks anymore. And thank God for Pluto and Capricorn, because, you know, now the truth is all coming out. And at the same time, to maintain the inner eye in an attitude of gratitude and looking forward or looking up into that more enlightened dimension, but still living here. So I kind of see us as bridges. You know, we have our feet in the muck, but our heads are up in the heavens, and we're bringing it all together. We're making, you know, the higher vibratory level concrete here on Earth, and it's up to us what happens. And the quantum physics and quantum mechanics is showing us that more and more every day. It's our thoughts that are causing the problems out in the world. It's our fears. It's our emotional angst, you know, all the crap that we're feeling that we're putting out there, and it's causing the storms, it's causing earthquakes, it's causing all kinds of havoc out there. And so we really have to, each one of us, take ourselves in hand and say, okay, I know that it's my job to hold the light within me. And just to occupy that space of gratitude and joy. And I find, like, I've been counseling a couple people lately that have just gone through some really difficult stuff. And I gave them a little prayer to do that basically is a prayer of trust, you know. It's like, okay, I know I'm being watched over. I know I'm being cared for, you know, and yes, I trust you for that. And, you know, and I surrender to the process, whatever needs to be. And I know that something better is planned for me. And I have just been amazed. I mean, I know this stuff works, but I've seen stuff turn around in people's lives in less than 24 hours. Just boom. And I'm like, wow. You know, the manifestation is really coming through quickly now.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'm looking, you know, as I'm surfing through the web and stuff, all of the ascended masters are coming out with a message that we must contain joy within ourselves. We must love, and we must be grateful for every moment of life that we have. And they're talking about how important it is for our continuance right now. And it's like, hey, if you don't wake up now, you're in trouble, you know. So mm-hmm. I'm telling everybody I can find, you know, just keep the joy within your heart and love and be happy, you know, be grateful for every little thing. And, you know, as one of my teachers said years ago, the only proper attitude with our Creator is gratitude. And, you know, just take the time throughout the day to be grateful for the little things that we have that we enjoy. And I've changed the way that I'm doing things in manifestation. You know, when I go in the quantum vortex now, I don't say the same things. Instead, I either ask the question, you know, why, as if I already have it, or how, which is one of my favorite questions. But then the other thing is, you know, I just act in joy, you know, and in gratefulness that, wow, I really love this. Or if it's something I don't have, I see myself having it and saying, I just love that. You know, that is so cool. And not even asking for it, just saying, I love that. And, you know, it's really changing things. It's a whole different way of doing it. You know, a couple years ago when we were doing the whole quantum vortex thing, it was, you know, a command into the universe. And now it's so simple. All you have to do now is just love whatever it is that you want to bring into your life. That's pretty amazing.
Oh, absolutely. And it's the feelings with that command or experience or that knowing that's so important. Lynn Grabhorn wrote a book some years ago called Excuse Me, Your Life is Waiting, and it's The Astonishing Power of Feelings. And I think, you know, what I loved about her book when I read it is that she acknowledged something I was suspecting at the time, and that is that our feeling, the vibratory rate of our feeling, is as important as the clarity of the thought that we have, that they come together mm-hmm. to create reality. And, of course, one of the great challenges when we're going through difficult times, when we're ill, when we're going through an emotional trauma, say a divorce or whatever's happening, or we just lost our job, as many people are right now with this economy, you know, it's easy for us to fall into the feeling of depression and just stay there. Of course, it's appropriate to honor what we're feeling. Those feelings are there for a reason. They're important feelings. Mm-hmm. And when we can give ourselves permission in the midst of whatever that is to open our hearts to a little bit of gratitude, the energy begins to shift very quickly. It can be very difficult to think of joy when someone you love just died. It can be yeah. difficult to get into, I'm ecstatic and excited and I'm in love with life when you just lost your job. I mean, those losses are your loss of health. So those are taking us into another field of energy, and it's appropriate.
And basically, if you, when you go through this, you just, you know, vent, you know, let it out, but don't keep going over and over it. You know, find
exactly.
one person that will hear you out. And, you know, really talk out your feelings, and it's like, wow, you know, I feel abandoned, I feel betrayed, you know, whatever. But just talk that out and ask the other person to ask you, what do you think you'd really like? You know, what would you like to experience next in your life? If you had no limitations, you know, what is it that would thrill you? And that kind of takes them out of that whole, you know, negative pattern and makes them think. And then I just tell them, you know, keep thinking about that. And, you know, really, you know, leave out the words like, oh, you know, I'd be happy if I had this. that just means you're never going to have it,
That's right. The itch is way out there.
Yeah. So instead, just see yourself actually being, doing, having, becoming, and just saying, wow, I really love this. This is so cool. This is one of my favorite things. And really, bring that in and be grateful for everything that you have. And, I've had my own challenges pretty heavy now for some time. It's been, one thing right after another. And, I have to say the one thing that allows me to get through it is to realize that this is all part of the process that helps me to be the grander being that I'm working into. And so I'll look at it, and instead of, hanging on it and, wailing and in fear and disgust and all that stuff, I just kind of go, huh, that's interesting. Well, what do I really want? What is it that thrills me in this moment that I would love to experience? And then I start thinking that way, because if I go back and I think about the difficulties and all of the things that I have no control over, that have been impacting me, then there's no way out. And, when people say, well, I keep getting the same thing and yeah, well, you got to stop thinking about it, You need to let it go as if it doesn't even exist, because actually it doesn't exist. It was all in the past. And, instead focus the energy in the direction of the things that would bring you great joy in your life. And, I find getting into a state of gratitude first really helps. And so sometimes go ahead.
I was just going to say, when we can't get to more intense feelings, gratitude is often one that we can.
Yeah.
Even if it's gratitude for, I'm finally slowing down. Mm-hmm. This has given me an opportunity to get still and reflect. It's allowing me to rest. It oftentimes those traumas are wake-up calls for us, emotional wake-up calls, spiritual wake-up calls, to get still and have that cup of tea, to sit down and contemplate a blade of grass, really notice the flower that you're walking by, really pay attention to the birds that are singing you awake in the morning, to become in tuned with life again, deeply. Profoundly.
Yeah, that's the thing. I've been asking people lately to just look at what they do have.
Mm-hmm.
And if you have no job to go to, okay, go ahead and feel the pain. And for men, this is probably the worst thing. Women handle it better. But a man is more wrapped up in what he does. And so if they just, go ahead and grieve for the loss of that part of your identity. Mm-hmm. But then realize that that's not the real you. And, look at the things that really thrill you, that you would really love to do, that would be more than what you've been doing. What would bring you happiness? And then realize that if you've just lost a job, that, perhaps that was to give you that breathing space. It gives you time to write. It gives you time to heal. It gives you the time to spend time with your family. And figure out, what it is that you need to do to go on. Beyond the government programs that some people are being refused on now, look at your community. There's food banks out there so you can eat. There's clothes giveaways and things like that. We just had someone in the community that was going someplace in Cottonwood and said, oh my God, I didn't realize that all these homeless people, those people have lost their homes and everything. They're out there, and they only have the clothes on their back, and it's cold. And so she put out a notice on Sedona FreeCycle and said, hey, listen, if you have blankets or pillows or, heavy jackets, socks, mufflers, mittens, anything like that that you don't need, I'll collect them, bring them over to my house, or I'll come into, Sedona proper in a couple of days, and I'll be at such and such a place. Just bring them by. I'll throw them in the truck, and I'll go deliver them. And so she did. And the people were so grateful. And what I'm finding is more people in communities all around the world are opening up now to the people that are in need. Now, this wouldn't have happened 10 years ago the way it's happening now. and the huge outpouring of prayers and money and, you know, items and, you know, physicians and nurses and things that have just gone to Haiti for this big disaster. I mean, all this stuff is really showing that people's hearts are really being opened more than ever before. That's amazing.
Yes, it is. And that's the opportunity. I mean, even in the depths of despair, there is a golden moment waiting to be noticed. And once it's noticed and it's fed with a little bit of care or love or regard or consideration, whatever we can get to in the moment, it spirals out. And we can ride that spiral out to the place where eventually we do feel that greater happiness, that greater joy. And our service, our ability to be of service and receive service, is part of truly being in that place of gratitude. Gratitude enough to recognize what we have, to want to give it and share it. Gratitude enough to realize that the mystery is working through the people around us to help us receive everything that we need. That's when we're in the pinnacle of the real meaning of our lives. Our sense of purpose and who we are and what we've come here to do gets very, not always clear at first, but it starts shaping in our awareness. You know, the doors are starting to open up and you go, oh, there is something more that I am and something more that I am here to experience. And somehow I've created this opportunity, though it may not feel like an opportunity in the moment. If we can give gratitude for it as an opportunity, then we'll see it. And it begins manifesting in our lives.
Yeah, like I've had to go through that myself where, you know, I couldn't understand it because I've helped people all of my life, many times to my own detriment. And it suddenly occurred to me this last month, oh my God, there has to be a balance. You know, it's like, you know, it's not thought good for people to be taking all the time. But there's a reverse in that, in that it's not good to be giving everything that you are all the time either. You know, there has to be that balance where, you know, it's balanced in our own lives, it's balanced, you know, everywhere, where we freely give and take, you know, without keeping score. But the freedom in it is what keeps it balanced. You know, you don't take more than you need, and you don't give more than is asked for or necessary. And so then, you know, nobody's left wanting, and nobody is left, you know, feeling guilty or whatever. And so as I started, you know, contemplating this in my own life, I was realizing, oh, my God, I never let anybody give to me. Mm-hmm. And so I've gotten some hard lessons over that one because I've been so used to being the rescuer, you know. I should have had a cake. Da-da-da! You know, here I come to save the day. and, you know, I did that my whole life. And then finally I went, oh, my God, what am I doing? And people would try to pay me back or they'd try to do something nice for me and I'd go, oh no, I don't need that. And so I shut off, you know, my own universal supply. And so as I've gone through all these things in these last so many years, I've realized, wow, you know, there's a whole other portion that I never thought about before. There are these things going on and I see it in the community. I see it in the other place where I reside, my other dimension. And there's one dimension that I'm really aware of being in. And it's been interesting because when people ask me about it, I tell them, wow, it's really great. Because in that dimension, I have three houses that are all hooked together. So I have three living rooms and three kitchens and, you know, three this and, you know, six bedrooms here. And, yeah, I mean, it's really amazing. And it's right on the hillside in this beautiful ocean cove. And you walk up this little hill, and you're into town, and there's this little main street. There's a huge downtown, like, financial district area, too. But there's this beautiful little main street, and there's no money. People just walk in, and they find something that would be perfect for whatever they're doing, their decor or whatever. And they say, thank you very much, and they take it. But everybody works, not because they have to, or because they have to pay off some balance, but because it's right. and they do what they really love to do. And every time I'm in that dimension, I come back going, you know, I just love that place. It is so cool, and people are so sweet with each other. It's just, I mean, it's a place of love and of cooperation and tenderness, kindness. And it's just the most amazing place, you know.
And, I love it.
And I've been yeah, that's what I'm talking about. And I really get the feeling that that's the way it is in a lot of places. You know, there's none of this, oh, well, you know, I gave you this, and so you better give me this back. It's like, no, it's unnecessary, because everybody knows that we all have these talents and abilities, and you share your talents and abilities with others. And it's fun, and nobody's overworked.
Doing it.
You know, people just have fun. If they need a new pair of shoes, they go find their favorite cobbler, and they go, wow, you know, that would be really great. And, you know, there's no pressure because of that, you know, and there's no taxes, there's no nothing, you know. I mean, there's no money. If you want a good meal, you just go sit down in the restaurant, you know, and then if that person needs something that you do, then they come and see you or whatever, you know, but kind of the way it was, you know, probably millennia ago on Earth. But the thing that's so cool is that it's coming closer and closer. And being in that dimension, I feel my heart is nurtured. And then you come back here and go, ugh.
Boy, do you experience that sense of frustration and loss when you've experienced that kind of greater reality where there's much more harmony? And then you come back into what's really going on in this reality for you. Do you sense that frustration and despair?
Absolutely. And I have to pull myself out of it and go, listen, this is just one of the places where I'm alive. This happens to be where my consciousness is right now in this third dimension, because this is where things need to get fixed. The other world is fine. It doesn't need any fixing. But this one right here needs a lot of work. And I'm presuming that's why my consciousness spends most of its time here. And, you know, at the same time, I'm thinking, you know, the fact that I'm aware of this other dimension means that I can pull, you know, the nurturing from that dimension to help me to be able to be here and to maybe bring some of that out towards others so that they can start to feel it and can live in that dimension too. And so, you know, I know that there's a lot of people that I know that are actually in that dimension too. And then there's some, you know, strange stuff that goes on. And it's been really interesting, you know, seeing the bleed over of some of the things that are going on. But it's more of a conscious dimension in that everybody there knows that the way that the world is because of the way we think and feel. Whereas over here, there's only so many people that understand that. And that's our problem. You know, we have to get more people cognizant of that little factoid so that we can actually, you know, make this into the paradise it was always meant to be, because it is up to us. But, yeah, it's hard. It's like, you know, the first time I had a near-death experience with a conscious recollection, it was really hard to be here, because here is painful. There's such a lack of love here that it's really difficult to be here when you've been in the all that is. And when you know the truth and your heart is open and it's safe to have it open, you know, and you're with other beings of love, it's very difficult to be here. And so there is some of that, yeah.
You know, Dr. Valerie, I think that is probably one of the most demanding aspects of spiritual expansion and conscious awareness, especially as we start embracing a greater scope of dimensionality, is that there's a side effect, and the side effect is I have to come home. And home here, speaking of, you know, this reality right now that we're functioning in together on the telephone call with all these listeners, is that it's challenging and it's difficult, and it's not as perfect as we want it to be. It's not the paradise that we know it can be. And coming back to that, this reality, I find that sometimes I'm crankier, I'm rude, I'm snapping at my husband, I'm having complaining thoughts. and have really been looking at this a lot in my own life and saying, what is going on? I have a really good life. I haven't done anything yet today that would spark that level of frustration. What's been going on? Well, I started tracing it back to the fact that I just came out of this, what I would call the yummy zone. You know, everything's bliss. And then I stepped back into here where it's slower and more demanding, and I'm picking up other people's thoughts and other people's feelings. And I went, you know, this is the grand adventure. This is the work right here. Is being able to be aware of that and, as you say, be conscious enough to know that I'm bringing some of that other reality in with me. And to remember that I'm the vessel of that reality. It only stops because I let it stop when I crossed over back here.
Yeah.
But
exactly.
I know that feeling inside of me. And all I have to do is choose to live that feeling and that awareness, even if the whole spiral around me isn't there yet. I can be the center of the storm. I can be in that peace and calm and bliss and the knowingness of what it is I'm creating and the knowingness that it will take time. This is a collective creation we're doing together.
That's one thing that we need to get that message out that, hey, we're all actively creating all the time. And before we go on, I need to pause for a second here and tell people if they want to listen over a regular phone, they can dial 614-715-3300. And again, that number is 614-715-3300. And the login number for that is 322-713-pound. And again, the number is 614-715-3300. Login is 322-713-pound. And it's a new feature. So if that helps anybody, if they've got slow dial-up or something, that would probably be easier. And so, yeah, Misa, when we're talking about this this other dimensional thing, I think it really is important to pull into the gratitude. That's what I've had to do. Because I come back and it hurts my heart to see how people are treating each other. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I'm here and I'm looking around. I'm going, man, I don't even want to go outside of the condo, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It's just really difficult. And when you see people acting like jerks out there in the world, I just have a hard time with that. And I think, you know, I need to find some way to deal with this on a day-to-day basis, because almost every time I lay down, whether it's the daytime, the night, whatever, I'm in that other dimension very quickly. And fully conscious, you know, within that dimension and, you know, with what people would call lucid dreaming, you know, where I'm able to function there just like I would, you know, my consciousness here. And what I find helps is to go directly into the attitude of gratitude as soon as I come back. As soon as my little eyeballs pop open in this body, I say, thank you, God. And I start in, you know, with the way the Ashayas do. You know, thank you, God, for my life. Thank you, God, for my body world. Thank you for loving me.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, by the time I get into that, then I'm usually okay, you know, and then I'll just lay there for a minute and I'll think, you know, I really love this aspect of my life here. You know, I love that I have these beautiful kitties. I love that I have a safe place and a roof over my head and a car that works great and, you know, yada, yada, yada. And I'll just go down and I'll think about those things. So I start my day with gratitude. Otherwise, yeah, you would get pretty irritable, you know.
And it does happen. And I see it happen for people. And, of course, you know, it goes back to the gratitude, the compassion for yourself, for the other people who are you think you're having a tough time. Imagine not being as aware. And mm-hmm. feeling all this stuff and reacting to it. My gosh, how difficult would that be to retain our sense of compassion, absolutely, and our gratitude for what we have. I in fact started some years ago, when I go into meditation, I put my hands over my heart.
Mm-hmm.
And what I've learned by doing that is, of course, when I come out of the meditation and I come back into this reality, my hands over my heart. So I have a reminder, I have a visceral, physical cue. When things get a little ragged for me, if I put my hand over my heart, it starts taking me back into that loving state of awareness.
Mm.
Very, very quickly. Very quickly.
Yeah, that's an important place to stay, because from what I've been reading, you know, all over the internet, the people that are, you know, talking with the Hathors and talking with Archangel Michael and Yeshua, the Christos, and, you know, I mean, all of the great ascended beings and stuff, you know, I have seen, very much like I saw a couple of years ago, that it wasn't just me doing the Golden Grid meditation. It was just all over the place. Same type of thing is happening, where they keep repeating over and over again, it's so important to be in the attitude of gratitude, you know, to appreciate your life, appreciate every single little part, and realize what a gift that it really is, that you've been able to be here and function in this body and experience these different things. And so I'm taking my cue from that. I mean, I've been feeling that myself, but it's always nice, you know, to have that kind of confirmation, you know, that a lot of other people are going through that too. And so that's telling me that that's part of our ascension process. And so anyone who's really serious about making it through the ascension and really being in that better place needs to be doing exactly that. You know, appreciate your life, be grateful for everything. You know,
Go ahead. Well, I was going to say, I think you said it really well, and that is even for the tiniest thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if indeed we're willing to perceive the divine in everything around us, everything, then are miracles happening all the time, because the divine is in harmony. And so
being aware
of that harmony in all of its aspects, even the challenges, There is a divine flow going on there. What is it? And to be able to be a part of it gratefully and say, wow, I'm going to be present in this experience fully. And I am feeling that loving gratitude for my ability to experience this now, this moment, for the fullness of the experience of whatever it is. You know, I remember years and years ago, I guess I was homeless, Dr. Valerie. I didn't think of it that way. and that would be the whole thing. That would be the difference. I had my truck. I had my sleeping bag in the back. I had some groceries. I had my stuff in storage with a friend. I was on an adventure. Mm-hmm. It never occurred to me I was homeless until years later someone suggested that what they were experiencing was homelessness, and I went, doggone, I guess I was homeless during that time. But I was so grateful for the opportunity to be out with Mother Earth, to be in my little truck going where my heart called me to go, you know, to be able to give readings and make a few dollars for gas and go to the next place, and the incredible people that opened up their homes to me, and the bookstores that I got to go to and speak in, and the ceremonies that I was invited to. It was a grand adventure that you don't do when you've got a house, you know, and you're making mortgage payments, and you know, you have a car and you're making payments on your car. I mean, we don't do those things if we have a regular job. So we don't get to have that kind of adventure. We have a different kind of adventure.
And that's a good point, you know, to show the attitude, too. Like, I know quite a few people who used to have homes in Sedona and are now basically living out of their cars. And what a couple of the guys did was they created, like, little huts on the back in the bed of their pickup trucks. And, you know, they've been driving around, and, you know, it's a little bit rough in the wintertime, but, you know, they find some place to be for the worst months, and then they're back in the truck and you know, camping out in nature, and they're making great leaps and bounds by doing that. And, you know, just to follow where Spirit leads you is amazing. It's like, you know, the 2 years that I was on the road, I was only half joking when I told people I was homeless in the Mercedes. And they just kind of look at me and laugh, you know. They're like, oh, you're so funny. And I'm like, no, I'm serious. Because I really didn't have a home at that time. And, you know, my whole point was to be on the road doing what God told me to do in order to help the people to get that leap or that spark that they needed. And that's what it was really all about. And, you know, every time somebody asked me, well, where do you live? I'd go, Well, see, right now, that would be Florida. And they're like, well, that's Florida. Where do you live? And I go, here.
That's it. It changes the whole experience when you're grateful for the moment presented to you that you've created. So if we're grateful for it and we're present with it, we're going to get the juice out of it because you're not going to do that again in the same way.
Well, that's
true. Do something
different. And I had that to say to God when I got back. I said, I'm not doing it this way again. Next time,
yeah,
it better
that.
Be the luxury motorhome with somebody to drive me and plenty of money for gas because this ain't happening again this way. It was it was rough. But, you know, I met some really fabulous people along the way, stayed with some great people. They opened their hearts and their homes to us, and I was grateful for everything, every little bit, you know. And they were so funny, some of them, you know. I said, what do you want to eat? And I'd go, you know what, I'm really simple. I'll eat whatever you plunk in front of me. You know, give them my druthers, you know, here's what a type O diet is. You know, it's roadkill and weeds. and people would just kind of look at me funny and go, okay, what does that mean? I'd go, meat and veggies. and you know, because they were trying to be accommodating. And it was so interesting. I mean, we slept out in somebody's backyard one night in Montana. And we did that to look for UFOs. And it was cold, you know, but we got a couple sleeping bags there, and so we were able to lay out there and look at the stars and stuff, and we were giggling because, you know, they had a nice house. We could have stayed inside, but it was like, no, you know, let's lay out there and let's look for UFOs and, you know, meteors and all this kind of stuff. And we just had more fun doing that. And, you know, just little things like that where we, you know, we received the kindness of strangers who were really not that much of a stranger. You know, they were really part of our light worker family. And, you know, I loved doing that. I loved being able to meet these people in their homes, you know, and to have that deeper connection with them, that heart connection. And so I really enjoyed it. You know, I enjoyed every little weird experience I went through. And some of them were very weird.
<You know?
laughs> I was like,
well,
hey, you know, now I can write a book about that.
You can, because, you know, every adventure has its challenges. That's what makes it an adventure. And that's where we learn and shape our muscles in terms of, this is who I am. No, this part doesn't work so well for me. I'm more like over here. I need this. I need more of this. And we discover that, I think, when we're willing to be present, not complaining, but really present and in gratefulness for what we've created, the adventure we've given this divine spark to learn about, and then to reshape the dream. You know, a wonderful shaman friend of mine, Maria Marr, says, the question is not, what is your dream? The question is, what dream are you? To be able to be, what dream am I, and be grateful for the dream that I have become, and then say, ah, and, you know, to be able to look at what dream I am next, in the next moment. It's mine to shape, it's mine to create. I create where I am, and I create where I'm going, and I create where I have been, so if I learn to be grateful to the Creator inside of me and really honest with the Creator inside of me in a good way, my life is going to get richer and richer and more full and more satisfying right here on Earth. And I think it's in that back to where we started the conversation tonight. I think that as we get comfortable in our own skin here on Earth, and we're anchored in our skin, then we can experience all kinds of dimensional realities and still have a sense of who we are in this reality.
And yeah, it doesn't have to be either or.
Anchor in it. No. No. In fact, I think that's part of the grand adventures. You know, when I think of Ascended Master, quite frankly, this is my perception, mine is that they choose what reality they're going to walk in.
Mm-hmm. I totally agree, yeah.
So I want to be over in this reality for a while, and I'm going back to Earth reality for a while. Now, that, to me, that's adventure. That's some real traveling.
Yeah, this, oh man, this hour has gone really fast. We could talk about this for a couple more hours yet.
But yes, we could.
But, you know, one of the things that I wanted to get in before we sign off here is I don't think that the listeners know that you're the founder of the New Dream Foundation. So if you want to, you know, tell them a little bit about New Dream and what it's all about and how they can contact you for the different classes and things and your books, I think this would be a good time to do that.
Oh, thank you. That's very sweet of you. Yes, I am the spiritual director and founder of the New Dream Foundation, and you can find it at newdreamfoundation.com. And yes, all the words are spelled out. I'm so sorry for those of you that have challenges with spelling. It's newdreamfoundation.com. And our mission is to create global spiritual family, and the new revised mission that's not on the website yet is particularly by honoring individuals and organizations that honor the sacred feminine. We're very, very clear that it is the sacred feminine that we believe in our hearts needs to be truly, fully honored, embraced, and loved in order to find balance here on Mother Earth. So that's what we're about. Lots of incredible people. Sign up. As soon as you get on there, sign up for those free meditations, because that puts you on the mailing list, lets you know what's going on and what we're doing, what kinds of classes are available or tours or a variety of activities that we have. Plus, every week you get a little like 5-minute meditation that you can do that will help you go deeper into your heart and deeper into your mystical experiences in a very grounded way. So it's newdreamfoundation.com, and we just love meeting the rest of our family.
And there's a donation button on there too. So if anybody feels inclined.
There is indeed, and we are so grateful for people's contributions. They help us continue to do what we're doing now, and our next phase of expansion is to create more of an online interaction, a calendar where we can be posting our mutual events and a place where we can create more of a buzz with each other in talking about topics that are meaningful, significant to us, and helping each other learn what we do and what we offer in the way of gifts and talents. So the donations right now support the programs that we currently have, and as they increase, then we'll be able to expand our offerings to the community.
Awesome. Thank you. And, it reminds me, one thing that I wanted to mention to people, if you or anyone that you know has had experiences with the Ouija board, please contact me, because I was given another book to write by Spirit a couple days ago. It was like, you need to write about this. I was like, okay, so I already started the book, and I'm looking for other people's experiences to include in the book. And my feeling is that there are too many lost people out there who are taking the wrong route into spiritual experiences. And at least that was what was kind of downloaded on me. And so I am looking for all kinds of experiences on that, pro and con, doesn't matter. You know, I just want people's stories. So, Misa, if you know anybody that's had those experiences, I appreciate you passing that information on. And listeners, if you know anybody, please have them contact me. And, wow, an hour went by so fast. Thank you so much for being on, Misa. It's been great, as usual.
Aww. Well, thanks for inviting me. I just love our conversations, and this one was a hot one. So
yeah, that was cool.
A lot. I really
we have to have more about that, and I'm sure that we will as things keep changing. They're moving pretty fast, so yeah. We'll get into the next phase the next time we talk. Okay, so that was quick. And listeners, thank you for listening. And we have been talking with Reverend Misa Hopkins of the New Dream Foundation. And her latest book is The Root of All Healing. And it's a great little book on healing and, you know, how to get into the proper attitude for that. And let's see, did we cover everything? Please do check out her website, www.newdreamfoundation.com. And our show has been brought to you by our sponsor, Hydramay Skin Nutrition. You can find them on the web at www.hydramay.com, H-Y-D-R-A-M-E.com. All natural organic skincare for men, women, and children. And it's very reasonably priced, so please do check it out. Thanks for listening, and until next week, be happy, be healthy, and be who you really are. Nighty-night.
Awaken the dream.